discussing the Malacha of Zoreya on Shabbos. So let's just get a quick recap of what we're up to, and then we will continue with tonight's discussion. We started off with the Mishnah in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us all of the Lamed Tes Aleph Malachas are patterned off of Sidur Depas, which is the way that a person would generally bake bread. And that starts with Zoreya Choresh, that's with all the planting stages, and then we go further into the Ofa and to the everything else that is a requirement for the preparatory stages of making pas. Then we discussed about, when we talk about the Malacha of Zoreya, so we're told that not only does the Malacha of Zoreya include actually planting something into the ground, putting it into the ground, but we mentioned that Zoreya even includes benefiting something which is already in the ground, meaning the Gemara tells us that if the fact that we call it an Av means there's also going to be a Tolda. So the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama Daf Beis Amud Aleph, what is the tolda of the Malacha of Zoreya? So Zoreya proper means you take a tree and you plant it into the ground. A tolda of Zoreya, which is on the same level, Daraisa, just it's not exactly called an Av, it's called a tolda, but it's also punishable with the same punishment. It's also considered an Issa Daraisa on Shabbos. What would be a tolda of Zoreya? That would be if I somehow help along the process. Like the Yerushalmi tells us as well, that there are many activities that a person can do which will help the growing process along, but that would not be actually considered putting something into the ground proper. We would never call that the real Zoreya, but still we include that in the Malach of Zoreya nonetheless. We then spoke about the issue of having a Kiddush outside. If we assume that you're not allowed to help the growing process along, so there's a concern, says the Ramah, quoting earlier sources. The Ramah tells us that there's a concern that maybe if you're going to have a Kiddush outside, you're going to eat your meal outside, maybe you're going to end up spilling something on the grass, and then that's going to help the grass grow a little more. So again, if it just was a deluge, a downpour outside, and now all the ground is soaking wet already, and it really doesn't need my extra little bit of water on the ground, so then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a regular day, a regular hot summer day, and if we're concerned that maybe some water is going to spill, maybe it's going to help the growing process of the grass to move a little further along, and therefore we assume that's something that should not be done. So we discussed what are the heterim nowadays for us to make a Kiddush outside, for us to have a picnic outside, not the time to go back into that now. Then we got into the lengthy discussion about atzitz nakuv and atzitz she'enu nakuv. What if I have a flower pot, and what kind of flower pot are we talking about was a big discussion. What if it has holes in it, what if it doesn't have holes in it? And what was important was the machlokas tosis and the Rambam, and that is something that we're going to pick up on with tonight. The machlokas tosis on the Rambam was, what if I have an atzitz nakuv? So really I should have said, it's considered like it's attached to the ground because it has holes in it, and we assume that those holes are able to bring up sustenance from the ground through the holes, so to speak. So what happens if you take that atzitz that's on the ground with holes in it and you bring it up, you elevate it to be placed al gabi yesedos, to be placed on top of a pedestal, on top of a stand. So what's the halach in such a case? So Tosis says that such a thing is still called mechuber. Why is it called mechuber? Because the same way it was gaining nutrients from the ground when it was touching the ground, so too when it's elevated above the ground, it's also still considered gaining nutrients, and that's why we would consider it still to be mechuber. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, who are you kidding? It doesn't make sense. Once you elevate something from the ground, it's no longer considered mechuber, even though, yes, it might be true that there are some fumes coming up from the ground or whatever it might be that are helping out the growing process. However, you cannot consider that to be mechuber. And this is why we explain, this is why the Rambam leaves out, again, the Gemara has a discussion about what if a person has to relieve themselves and they don't have anything else except for a rock, tsror, she'alu bo asavim. What if you have a rock that has some grass growing out of it? So the Gemara says, mutu lekaneach bo v'shabbos. You're allowed to use that in order to help yourself get clean on Shabbos. Why? So the assumption that the Gemara has is that that is only if you pick something up temporarily from the ground, then you put it back down. But it was never too far removed from the ground, so we assume in a case like that, that it would be mechuber all along. And that's why Tosis assumes that Gemara makes a lot of sense, because it's only a malacha d'rabbanan to pick it up. Why? Because midaraisa, we assume it's really still considered mechuber, because it's still close to the ground. However, the Rambam does not quote that Gemara. The Rambam leaves it out. Why does the Rambam leave it out? Very obvious, because the Rambam is of the opinion that once you pick something up from the ground, it's no longer considered attached any longer. Once it's no longer considered attached, that means you have just violated a malacha d'araisa of kotzer. So we would never allow a person to violate a malacha d'araisa b'makom kavod abrios, and that's why the Rambam conveniently leaves that Gemara out of his equation in the Yad HaChazaka. So now let's continue with that machlokas tosa and the Rambam. Let's look back at a Gemara that we quoted briefly last week, because it's going to be very, very relevant to our discussion tonight. Says the Gemara, Masechah Shabbos, Pei Aleph, Amud Beis. Hi, parpisa. What does the word parpisa mean? So, I put in the parentheses, atzitznakov. So if you have a planter that has holes in it, so we would consider that to be mechuber lekarka. Shayamunach agabi karka, v'hinicho agabi yiseda. So you have this planter, it has holes in it, and it's on the ground. Now you pick it up and you elevate it to put it on top of a stand. Chayiv mishum tolish. The Gemara says you are going to be chayiv mishum kotzer. That's as if you have just detached something from the ground. Hayamunach agabi yiseda. Let's say I had something that was on top of a stand, and now I take it off the stand and place it onto the ground. Chayiv mishum noteya. Doesn't that seem to be an indication that the Rambam is correct? Again, the Rambam is of the opinion once something is on a stand, it's no longer considered mechuber, so the Rambam says, I have a Gemara that tells me that. The Gemara says over here, if I take something from the ground, put it on a stand on Shabbos, I'm chai mishim kotzer. If I take it from the stand and put it onto the ground, it means I'm chai mishim zoreya. So isn't that a clear indication that, obviously, once it's removed from the ground, it's no longer considered mechuber, even if it's gaining nutrients from the ground? How is Tosis going to learn this Gemara? Anyone remember from last week? Rashi and Tosis both say, no, the Gemara is not to be taken literally, it just means midrabbanan. This Gemara doesn't really mean that you're chayiv midaraisa, it just means midrabbanan. Why? Because on a level of daraisa, Tosis and the Rashi argue that there would be no prohibition at all. Why? Because even though it used to be connected to the ground and now I elevate it, that's still called mechuber, and since it's still called mechuber, you have not violated anything. Yeah, midrabbanan is not a good thing to do because you have limited the amount of sustenance it's gaining from the ground. But Tosis says this Gemara does not have any indication on a level of daraisa how you formulate the malacha of Zoreya. And the Rambam disagrees. So that's a very important Gemara. Now let's go a little bit further. The problem is, I didn't put it on here, but the problem is, we mentioned in one of the earlier shiurim, we have avos and toldos. And av means taking a seed, planting it in the ground. Taking a tree, putting it in the ground. That's obvious to all of us that that's a real Zoreya. What if I do something that's an activity that helps the plant grow? So we said that's a tolda. For example, the Gemara says in Morid Katan Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara there is discussing Hilchos Shviyas, but the Gemara then applies it equally to Hilchos Shabbos as well. So the Gemara says, what if you have someone, Hamashke Mayim Lizraim? What if you have someone comes along on Shabbos or during Shemitah when you're not allowed to plant a field? What if you have someone who takes a cup of water and starts pouring it around the plant? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Mechayiv Mishum Zoreya. Rabbi Yosef says you are going to be chayiv on Shabbos mishum malacha of Zoreya. Why? Again, that's not like taking a plant and actually planting it into the ground, but since you are helping to heighten, to intensify the growth process of this plant in the ground, so therefore we would consider that an offshoot of a tolda of Zoreya. That would be a daraisa, but it would also be considered a tolda of Zoreya. It's not an av, but it's a tolda. Now, ask them in Chaschino Chakasha. I don't understand. What is the opinion of Rashi and Tosis that we just said? Rashi and Tosis say, if you have something that's connected to the ground, and now I pick up that flower pot, and I raise it onto a pedestal, so what do we assume? It's still considered mechuber. Even though I limit it a little bit, the amount of sustenance it's getting from the ground doesn't matter. That's only malacha midrabbana. Midaraisa, you would be putter. There's nothing wrong with what you did. Ask the Minchas Chinuch, isn't that the same thing as this Gemara? Right? How does Tosis learn the Gemara? Tosis said, the Gemara says, if I take something from the pedestal and put it onto the ground, that's only malacha midrabbanan. Why is it only malacha midrabbanan? Because really, even while it was on top of the stand, it was also connected to the ground. What do you mean? Why is that any different than what the Gemara says in Moed Katan? What does the Gemara say? Even if you help to intensify the level of nutrients that it's going to gain from the ground, for example, I pour a cup of water all around this plant, that would be considered a malacha daraisa. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Is that question clear? Anyone have a problem with this question? Just also, to me, the cases are complicated. I just want to make sure I'm being clear. Not to answers yet. Just want to make sure that the question is clear. Again, the Gemara tells us that we have avos and toldos. An av means you plant a seed in the ground. The tolda means you don't plant the seed in the ground. You take a pre-existing seed that's in the ground and you help it grow a little more. That's called a malacha daraisa. Why is that any different than taking something that's on top of a stand and placing it onto the ground, which Tosis says is only a midrabbanan? Shouldn't that be the same? Am I not helping something grow a little bit more and become a little bit more connected to the ground the same way if I took a cup of water and I poured it around the plant? It should have been the same. Should be identical. So why do we find a distinction like that? That's question number one that is asked by the Minchas Chinuch when he talks about the Malach of Zoreya. Question number two, which is a fascinating one, a little bit, just to divert our attention a little bit away from Zoreya, because a little bit too much Zoreya might not be good. Let's talk a little bit more about other Hilchos Shabbos. So, our Sameach takes us to a Gemara in Beit Sadaf, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, which you have here in number Beis. Hanosein Shemen Biner, Let's say you have back in the olden days. So you have, let's say, easiest way for us to imagine is a Bunsen burner, right? So you have a Bunsen burner, you have oil in the bottom, and you have the wick sticking out on top. So, Hanosin Shem and Benera Chayiv, Mishamavir. What if I decide on Shabbos to add more oil into the bottom of the Bunsen burner that the fire should last a little bit longer? That's called a Malach of Mavir. Why is that a Malach of Mavir? What? Because it would have gone out much earlier, and now because you added some oil, now it's going to extend and stay on a little bit longer. Now, what if, says the Gemara, Hamistatek mi menu, what if I remove somehow some of the oil that's in there that has not yet been burnt by the flame on top? Says the Gemara, Hamistatek mi menu chai mi shemachabit. If you remove some of the oil that was already pre-existing in the Bunsen burner, what's the halacha? You're in violation of mechabit. What do you mean? I didn't put the fire out. But again, because the fire is going to go out earlier, that's called mechabit. Wrong. Wrong. Tosa says that's not the reason why you violate mechabit. I should have said that. Why am I in violation of mavir? Because when I provide more oil, it's going to burn longer. Why should I be in violation of mechabit? Because it would have gone out at a certain time, now it's going to go out earlier. I should have said that. Tosa says, no. Gram kibui, let's say on Yom Tov, gram kibui might be permissible. So that can't be the reason why the Gemara is giving here that it's mechabit. Says Tosas, no. You know why you're going to be in violation of the malacha mechabit? Because when you remove the oil, the light, the candle on top is going to flicker. Because it feels that some of the oil is being sucked out. So at the time that you're removing the oil, it's not that the fire is going to go out a little bit earlier than it would have. It's that right now when you're removing the oil, the flame on top is going out. It's becoming a little bit dimmer. Not that it's being put out completely, but it's going to become a little bit dimmer. Ask the Aruch Sameach. I don't understand. What do you see clearly from that Gemara, the way Tosas explains it? What you see here clearly is that when you are reducing, when you're downsizing, diminishing a flame, that's already a malacha mechabit. Well, ask the Aruch Sameach, shouldn't that be the same when you have kotzer? If I take something that's on the ground and I raise it up to be on top of an atzitz, on top of a platform, I should say, that's also, you're diminishing the amount of sustenance it's getting from the ground. The same way when I diminish a little bit of light, the flame didn't go out. The flame is just flickering a little bit, so it diminishes for 2 seconds while I take some of the oil out. Shouldn't that be identical? Ask the Aruch Sameach. What? 1 second, we're not up to answers yet. Let's make sure the question is clear. Shouldn't that be the same? When I limit the amount of flame that was there, I violated Malacha D'Araisa. So when I limit the amount of sustenance that's getting from the ground, should be the same?
Automatic.
What?
When you take the nuts right put it on top of the power cord, you're not automatically seeing a result. Whereas you take the oil away from the candle, you immediately see it flicker.
So that's a good question. We're gonna touch on that in a few minutes. That's what some achronim say. My problem with saying it precisely the way you're saying it, we're going to say it a little bit differently, but the problem with saying it the way you're saying it, even though it's on the right track, is, what do you mean? When I pour a cup of water onto the ground, I don't see any result either. I know that that helps, meaning because those who understand plants and those who understand how to make things grow tell me that this will help it grow. Yeah, but you can't see that the plant is growing any better because now I poured water on it. You see the water going on, but you don't see that it did anything. You see, there you don't see anything. Okay. So we'll work with that a little bit in a couple of minutes. So again, two questions. Number one, the Minchas Chinuch question. How can Tosa say it's only Malacha Midrabanan to pick something up and put it on top of a stand? Why should that be any different than the Gemara at the beginning of Moed Katan on Menachesh, of something where you're pouring water, Zorik Mayim Legina, why should that be considered any different? Again, if you're helping along the process of growth, that should be considered the same malacha as the Gemara says in Marikat. Now, number two, if you contrast this to the malacha of Mechabe, shouldn't this be the same? So let's deal with Mechabe first. The Arsameach only deals with Mechabe. He doesn't deal with our first question. So let's deal with him first, then we'll get back to the Menchas Chinuch. So number one, says the Arsameach as follows. There's a major difference between the malacha of Mechabe and the malacha of Kotzer. What's the difference? See, you have to say there's a difference. So Rav Asher Weiss once told me, you know, I was talking to him about something, so I said, maybe the difference is like this. So he said, it's a chiluk she'ena machalik. Right? It's a difference without a distinction. That's what he said. So it's a very important concept to know, that just to make a difference between two halachos is not always the answer. You have to make a difference that actually makes sense. You have to make a difference that actually makes a distinction between the two halachos. So over here, the Arsameach says, he points out there is a major difference, which actually makes a big difference. What's the big difference here? When you talk about mechabe, he says mechabe is bekol shehu. There's no shear. This is why we started off with the din of chatzi shear as an introduction to many of our halachas here. Because he says mechabe, the Gemara never tells us, it's only if you put out a flame that's this big and you make it go out. It's only if you take a flame that's that big and make it go out. Any flame that you put out, you're considered a violator of mechabe. That makes a lot of sense to us. So let's say I have a huge bonfire and I pour water over half the bonfire and the rest of it stays lit. Everyone would agree that you're in violation of mechabe, even though the fire is still going, but half the fire is out. Correct? So says the Or Sameach, it's reason to follow that when you have a Bunsen burner and you make the candle flicker a little bit, isn't that the same as pouring water on half of a bonfire? Happens to be it's a little bit smaller. But since mechabe is b'kol shehu, there is no shear when we talk about mechabe. So therefore you're going to be in violation even if you diminish the light a little bit. That's the same as putting out half of a bonfire should be the same as putting out half of a Bunsen burner. There's no difference. That explains the Or Sameach, is why mechabe might be a little different. But by kotzer, he says, the Gemara says, kotzer is not b'kol shehu. Kotzer, you need to have a shear. Means you need to pull out a carrot from the ground. Or you need to pull out a dever choshev from the ground. Whatever, if it's not a carrot, so it's something smaller. But each thing, the Gemara says, it has to be the size, which is a recognizable size. If you just go to the ground, you pick something out, and it's not noticeable, it's not recognizable at all, that's not considered a violation of kotzer. Therefore, he says, if you assume that there's a shear that's necessary in order to violate the malacha of kotzer, it makes sense why if you just diminish the amount of nutrition that a plant is getting from the ground, makes a lot of sense why you won't be in violation of a malacha deraisa of kotzer. Okay? Does that make sense? Again, since the nature of the malacha of kotzer requires that you have a threshold, it requires that you have to have a shear in order to violate the malacha, so over here you don't have that shear. Over here, when I take it off the ground, it has a little less sustenance, it has a little more sustenance, that's not called a shear. A shear means you have to take out a complete carrot and pull it out of the ground that it's no longer connected. Well, now we don't have that when we talk about a natsis nakub. That's the way that he answers this question. Let's read it together because so listen to this. He's going to say a chiddush here. Look at this. And that's why I want to read it together because I found this Or Sameach yesterday and I find it fascinating. Maybe if we really are interested, we'll look at the second paragraph, which has nothing at all to do with Hilchos Shabbos. But the Or Sameach, you see what a genius he is. I put it out of order. The second paragraph really, in the piece that he has, really shows up first. And he brings a raya to the question that he has in the second paragraph from Hilchos Shabbos. And it's brilliant how he puts everything together. But it's not really relevant to our shir, but it's amazing. So let's just read the first one that's relevant to us first. V'kazeh amarti, and this is the way I explain, says the Or Sameach. The hadeh kotzer chayiv b'shabbos. Let's say I have a tree that has 10 roots deeply rooted into the ground. I take a sledgehammer on Shabbos, I smash off one of the roots. So now it's connected in 9 ways to the ground. What would you have said? You would have thought it's kotzer, even though the tree is still connected to the ground. I would have said, well, of course you were kotzer. The tree used to have 10 roots in the ground, now it only has 9, says the Or Sameach. Why is that any different than taking a planter with holes in it and lifting it up a little bit? Isn't that the same? Why not?
Because it's not disconnected completely. Doesn't kotzer require complete disconnection?
Oh, meaning you're saying the Or Sameach is correct. Meaning you would have said like the Or Sameach before tonight's shiur?
Maybe.
Right. So to me, the Or Sameach, meaning it makes sense once you hear his logic. But it's a brilliant chiddush that he comes to. He says, based on what I'm saying, we should assume that if I have a tree that has 10 roots in the ground, you go and you chop one off. So now it's still connected to the ground, but it's missing one of its main ways of connection to the ground. You're not in violation of kotzer. So that's the same, he says, as taking a plant that's on the ground and lifting it up a little bit. That Tosas says, that wouldn't be a malacha d'oraisa because all you're doing is limiting the amount of sustenance it's getting from the ground. Brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's completely removed from the ground. In this case, is still strongly connected.
So you're saying in the other direction.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's read. Let's read what he says. Because there are marti dehada kotzer chay b'shabbos im haya netia nivrechas la'aretz v'haisa gedele mishnei ketzosea v'chatach tzarechan min akarka. Let's say it has roots coming out from both sides, and you chop off one side. Lo mechay mishum kotzer, says the Or Sameach. You wouldn't be in violation of malacha deraisa of kotzer. So I skipped a little bit in the middle where he brings rayas from different places. Now he explains. Again, because you need a shear, and over here you have not violated the shear. What's the shear? Exactly like you said. Because right now, is the tree still connected to the ground? Yes. Ah, you made it a little bit less connected. So what? That's not a malacha d'oraisa. Brilliant. So he says, who cares that now it's connected a little bit less than it used to be? In the end of the day, it's still connected to the ground. He says, ah, you'll ask me, isn't this the same as mechabe, where we're told by mechabe, even if you diminish the flame a little bit, you're already in violation of mechabe? Why should that be? Why don't you say it's the same as kotzer? He says, no. Over there, when we talk about mechabe, the Torah never gave a shear. The Torah says, if you diminish a flame, you're already in violation. If you take a big bonfire, you put out half of it, you're going to be in violation, even though the other half is still burning. And therefore, since mechabe has no shear, and mechabe you're going to violate even just with the slightest diminishing of the flame that's already existing, lachain, mashanikla sha'or, havi zebesug mechabe. Therefore, even by putting out a little bit, even by diminishing the flame a drop, that's already a violation of mechabe, your chayiv. Ava malachas kotzer, da malacha ikaba shir, but by kotzer, where we talk about a malacha that actually has a shir, that the Torah told me, only once you detach it like this, are you going to violate a malacha. V'chei malachas ha'otza, da shayach bashir, da shireim kegrogerus ha'chayotzeba, midi da chashiv imkein, ech tuchal lachshov ha'echos lemidi da shirah. When I need a threshold in order to violate the malacha of kotzer, how can you say that the fact that it's a little bit less nutrients coming to it from the ground, how can you add up that lessness? That's what he's, I don't know how to say that in a better way, but how can you add up all that echos, he says, all of that quality, I guess, the quality of sustenance from the ground, doesn't add up to a shear. Okay? So that's the chiddush of the Ar Samech. Now listen how he applies it. Just you see the brilliance, yeah? All of them.
All of
them.
What about if you put in as it's not good, then you're okay?
If what?
You cut all 10 and then you put in as it's not good, it's still makubar.
Okay.
I mean, then we're not in violation of a...
Okay. It's you, in Midr Abana, you're going to be chayiv anyway. We're talking a level of deraisa here. It's a chiddush. It's a big chiddush. It's a brilliant chiddush. Now listen how he applies it. And here you see the brilliance of the Ar Samech. Look what he says. I'm only bringing it because I just found it so fascinating. What?
Well, Shabbos is chayiv.
Yeah.
Chayiv is deraisa usually.
No, chayiv, the Rambam says whenever he says chayiv, he means deraisa. In the Gemara, it's not clear that chayiv every time means deraisa. And that's why Rashi and Tosafot go out of their way here to tell you chayiv in this case is different than normally what chayiv means everywhere else. The Rambam writes clearly in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shabbos that anytime he uses the Lashon chayiv, it means, you know for sure, chayiv deraisa. So in the Rambam, that's why we know that's not the case. So now look at the Ar Samech. Look how he applies this. This to me is amazing. Shamati b'shem chacham echad. So he says, I have a friend, a chacham echad. I'm not sure who he's referring to. Shachakar b'chola shamdu lecho kazayis. Let's say you have a chola, and the chola happens not to have food that's going to help him. The doctor says, the only way to get better is if you eat this and this tray for food. Whatever it is. The only thing that he's able to eat, based on what the doctors are telling him, is some treifa food. Okay, so you're a chola, pikuach nefesh docha everything, so you're going to go ahead and eat the treifa food. But you have two options. Doctors tell you have to eat a whole steak, and it has to be this many pounds of steak, that's when you're going to get better. Okay? So he doesn't have a choice, he has to go eat a steak. But he has two options. He could eat the very skinny steak that doesn't taste so good. Or, once I'm having a geschmack of steak, I may as well make it good. I may as well get the good, juicy, fat piece of steak. It's going to amount to the same size as I would have eaten the other one, just it's going to taste much better. So he has two options in front of him. Is there any reason not to eat the great, juicy, treif a piece of steak? I'm eating treif anyway, but I have a heter to eat treif. But how far does my heter go? Does my heter say I'm only allowed to eat the bare minimum and make it as least enjoyable as possible? Or do you say, no, once you have the heter and you're allowed to eat a certain amount, so make it good. Why not? Interesting question.
You have to go out of your way.
Hmm?
Or better yet, you have to go out of your way to make it less.
Right, okay. Or let's say he says, so if we're talking about Isuri Hana, let's say, so then the more Hana you get, the more you're going to be in violation. But let's say we're not talking about Isuri now. We're talking about Isuri Achila here. So that's his question. And instead of eating the lean piece of meat, you choose to eat the big, good, juicy, geshmaka piece of meat. Or be Yom Kippurim for that matter. Shehayeh lo lecho lechem. You, the doctor says, you cannot fast on Yom Kippur. So you have a choice. People ask the Shaila every year. Do I have to limit what I eat on Yom Kippur when the doctor tells me I have to eat? So do I have to make sure to eat something which I'm not going to get any enjoyment from? Or do you say, no, once I don't have to fast on Yom Kippur, so eat whatever you want. V'alcha bras ha-shamein, mi-chaye v'al-zeh. Says the Or Sameach, le-dati barur de-pater. In my opinion, says the Or Sameach, if you are a chole, forget Yom Kippur now, because Yom Kippur is a little more complicated with inui, so maybe that's like Yisuri Hanna, whatever. So Yom Kippur is a little different. But let's say a regular chole, and the doctor tells him you have to eat treif meat. Says the Or Sameach, it's obvious to me that if you choose to eat the juicy, good-tasting piece of meat instead of the lean piece of meat, you're pater. There's nothing wrong with what you did. Why? Ve'en kan shum chiyuv alav. Ve'ha'ikar, and the reason why is, the shiny v'shiny hecha de isurim heima b'nei shiura. So here is the first paragraph of what he writes, and in order to prove that he's right, he brings this proof from Hilchos Shabbos. That's how I came to this. I came to it backward, because I was looking for the Hilchos Shabbos part, and then I saw this interesting paragraph. Ve'ha'ikar, the shiny v'shiny hecha de isurim heima b'nei shiura. Kimo isuri achila. Every isur achila in the Torah, you're only going to violate once you have a kezayis. If you have less than a kezayis, that's not the isur of chazer, let's say, in Cain. Tzorech sheyeh bekamus hadavar nitosef inyan v'lo b'ha'echus. Again, if the doctor tells you you're allowed to eat a kezayis of treifim meat, so when is your isur going to amount to an isur? Only if you eat a kezayis. What if I eat a chatzizayis, but it's so good like a kezayis? Come on, there's no way of measuring how much goodness you're having, how geshmak it is to you. There's no way of measuring that. The Torah gives you a measure. The only time you're going to be in violation is if you eat that quantity. If you don't eat that size or that quantity, you're not a violation. And therefore he says, once you have a heter to eat that size, then quality doesn't make a difference. Take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. V'kivin shekan shekezayis havi onus lemechal b'yisura. Since over here the doctors tell you you have to eat a kezayis of treif meat or else you're not going to be healthy. And you had an option to eat either a quality or less quality. As geshmak as you're going to make the steak doesn't make it more than a kezayis. It's still just a kezayis. So therefore, says the Or Sameach, when we talk about something that has a shear in order to violate the yisur, it doesn't make a difference what the quality of that shear is. And then he brings a proof from Hilchos Shabbos by Mechabes. Such a brilliant mind. You just see how he takes Kol HaTorah Kula and figures out how to put it together. Now this Or Sameach is in Machalas Asuras. It's not even Hilchos Shabbos. It's over there because he's trying to prove his case by Machalas Asuras whether you're going to be in violation of a bigger Isser, of a fatter Isser, if you enjoy the treif meat that you're eating. And then he brings the proof from Hilchos Shabbos. So this is, again, where do we start? We started that we had a problem. The Or Sameach wants to know what's the difference between kotzer, where we assume if you're memayit in the ktsira, that's not considered a malacha, daraisa. Whereas by mechaba, if you're memayit in the flame that you have, you are going to be in violation of mechaba. What's the difference? Answers the Or Sameach very simply. There's a difference whether or not the Torah requires a shear. By mechaba, the Torah does not require a shear. Mechaba is bekoshu, and therefore, even if I put out very momentarily, if the flame goes and gets dimmer, even momentarily, you're already going to be in violation of mechabe. So therefore, that's why mechabe is bekoshu. However, when you come to the malach of kotzer, the only way you're going to be in violation is when you have the shear. Anything less than the shear will not be a problem. Therefore, the Or Sameach is mechadesh. If you have a tree that has many roots and you chop off the roots, and there are some that are still left that are connected to the ground, you're not going to be in violation of the malach of kotzer. Now, what still is not answered is the Menchas Chinuch question. Menchas Chinuch asked what? How are we going to explain the discrepancy in Zoraya itself? The Menchas Chinuch pointed out that by Zoraya, the Gemara says in Marikat and Daf Beis, if you pour water onto the grass, that's considered a malacha of Zoraya. Why? Malacha daraisa, because you're helping the grass to grow a little bit further. So what do you see? If you add to the nutrients, to the sustenance of the grass that's already growing, you just make it grow a little bit better, a little bit faster, we consider that to be a malach of Zoraya. Well then, why shouldn't that be the case also? When I take an atzitz nukav that's on top of the stand, I put it next to the ground, I'm helping it grow a little bit better, shouldn't that be the same malach of daraisa as well? That's the question that the Menchas Chinuch asked, and the Menchas Chinuch, if I'm not mistaken, leaves it off with a tzarachin. He's not sure what the answer is, yeah?
Do we care if the ground is already saturated?
Sure. If the ground is already saturated, now you pour another cup of water, you're not in violation of Zoraya. Talking about a regular summer day, where it's always helpful to have some more water. So Eglei Tal answers, well, you have to figure out, since everything is patterned off of the Mishkan, well, in the Mishkan, they probably used to grow plants and pour water on them. So then that's going to be a malacha. But in the Mishkan, they probably didn't have planters that they were picking up and putting down and all over the place. That's a very difficult answer to give, because then every malacha you could start questioning. How do you know what they did in the Mishkan? Maybe they did this, maybe they did that. Maybe they didn't pour water on the seeds. As far as I'm concerned, I don't really understand how anything was learned out from the Mishkan, because really the Mishkan was a miraculous existence. There was no water in the Midbar. So what does it mean? Obviously, that can't always be the answer. So that's what the Eglei Tal wants the answer. But that's a very questionable answer, which leads us to the next question, to the next point in the shiur. What time is it? 9:45. Okay, still have time. And this is a question that was raised by someone who I think is not here this week. So you'll tell him he missed it, whoever he is. About, let's say a person has planters in their house. And generally the planters in my house, let's say we assume when I have planters in my house, like last week, like we established, they're not connected to the ground, they're not growing from the ground, but whatever it is. Actually, is that the assumption?
No, because
what? Right, we discussed that last week. So I'm not sure which side of the assumption we're taking right now. We'll figure that out in a minute. But the question is raised, what if I have planters in my living room and I open up the windows? Or I open up the trisim in Israel. I open up the shades. So now there's lots of sunlight going on my plants. So am I in violation of Malach of Zorei? So what do you say? What? That's grama? Why is that only a grama? Okay, so that's one issue. What do you say?
If you can't quantify.
So if you can't quantify it, so then, so it's echus. Yeah, but by Zoraya, by when I pour water on the ground.
So there's the shear for it.
What's the shear? If I pour a lot of water?
Water. I don't know. How much did you put a kosher? Were you high for it? It sounds like you for kosher.
Okay. So shouldn't that be over here also? If I'm letting the sunlight in?
What's your intention?
How do you quantify it?
Oh, what's your intention? So this is a very complicated question. Let's, what? Psikresha. Sikresha means you know what's going to happen anyway, even if it's not your intention, so it should still be us. You're both right. Machlok is the round and the Rashba, so we'll get there in a minute. So let's see, the Shvisas HaShabbos writes as follows. The Shvisas HaShabbos, so just to start, Shvisas HaShabbos says that he said over this Chiddush to the Ar Sameach in Europe, and the Ar Sameach thought he was crazy. So if you think that this is crazy, what he's saying, you're in good company. I don't know, I have a hard time understanding this, but let's read together. The Shvisas HaShabbos writes like this. It's not my own. This is, he says about himself. So the Shvisa Shabbos writes like this. Alpha P. Is that here? Yeah, on the bottom of the page. Alpha P. Shalahar Bidini Atara Mavriach Ari Shehu Siluk HaHezek Lo Chashev Maise. He says, all throughout Kala Torah Kula we assume that Mavriach Ari is not called a Maise, is not called an action. For example, let's say the Gemara says in Baba Basra, if you want to acquire a field, you have to do a Maisa Chazaka. You have to do something to show that you're the real owner. So what do you have to do? No Gadol Uparetz. If I erect a fence around the whole field, that shows that it's mine. If I go to the front of the fence, I put a lock on it, that shows that it's mine. Or Paratz, there's a big fence, and now I break through the fence, and I make a new walkway through the field, that shows that it really belongs to me. What if I stand in the field for here and there, and I'm walking in and walking out? That's not really a significant Maisa. That's not considered a real activity that shows that I'm the real owner of the field. Says the Gemara. What if I'm Mavriach Ari Minichse Chavero? What if I see that there's a storm about to come to my friend's field, and I go and I put up sandbags all over the place to make sure that his field is going to be safe, and now his field is saved. Does that mean that it's mine? No. Shouldn't that be the same as putting up a fence? Says the Gemara, no, because all you were doing is you were saving him from some damage to come to his field, but that doesn't show that you're the owner. So that's what he means over here. Every time you have Mavriach Ari, which literally means you see a lion coming to somebody's field and somehow you chase it away, that's not called a chazaka. That's not called a maisa. You didn't actually do anything. You just stopped something from happening, something negative from happening, but you didn't positively help the field make any major difference. However, he says, even though that's the halachim kala terakula, that Mavriach Ari is not considered a real maisa, by Shabbos, even if you do something which just stops a negative effect from coming about, that's also called a malacha on Shabbos. For example, Kasab Yerushalmi Shabbos, Kal Davar Shehu Mavchilas Hapri Chai Mishem Zareya. Anything that's going to help the fruit, Mavchil I think means anything that's going to help it sprout a little bit more, it's considered a malach of zareya. For example, hanotea, if you plant. Hamavrich means if you graft. Hamarkiv, hamakarsim, which means in the parentheses, mechatech hanachem yveshim. So you have a tree here and you just cut off the dry branches. Hamizared, which means you cut off the wet ones because those are ruining you. Hamefasil, notalapsos, you take away the dirty branches. Or hamizahim, all these kinds of things. Hamifarek means you have stones that are all around the tree that are hindering the growth of the tree, and now you remove all those stones on Shabbos. I would have said, what are you doing? What's the malacha? Answer is, that's Orea. Why? Because now the tree is going to be helped in its growth a little bit more. So the Yerushalmi goes on to say all these examples, and he brings us to show that even though Mavriach Hari, even though stopping a negative effect from happening generally is not called a maaser, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, obviously it is. Because the stones are having a negative effect on the tree. By removing the stones, you're not doing anything positive, you're just taking away the negative. So still, we consider that to be a malach. Okay? Now, says the Shvisa Shabbos, skip down a little bit, till after he has all the end of the parentheses. Okay? Vihine. You have Vihine? Turn over to the other side. Vihine, where are we? Last word on the line. Four lines from the end. Got it? Vihine. Ela hadvarim hem rak v'salik ha'hezek v'ilanos. All of these descriptions that the Yerushalmi gives are only removing something which was hindering the growth of the tree. I'm not positively helping the tree to grow. I'm just taking away that which was stopping the tree from growing. U'mikal makam chay mishem zareya. And still, you're in violation of malach of zareya. And therefore, here comes this chiddush. Al kein mishiyesh lo atzitz hazarua v'chalon. If I have a planter in my house, asur liftoach olino l'chalon. If I have a planter in my living room, I'm not allowed to open. Now again, the Arsam Ech said he's crazy. So, however, he says it's also liftoach olino l'chalon of lifros sadin. If let's say there's too much sunlight, so I take a sheet and I put it over the plant. Im yesh bozet toeles la'atzmachem lahagin min hakara lahaser hamasach kedei shetizrach aleihem hashemesh. If I want to take away the trisim, I want to open up the shade in order that they should get sunlight, or I want to cover them with a sheet in order that they shouldn't get too much sunlight, or something of that nature, says the Shvisas HaShabbos, you're going to be in violation of a Malach of Zorei on Shabbos. Why? Because even though you're not doing anything proactively, it's not like pouring water on the seeds, still, since you're helping the process go a little more, and helping the process doesn't always mean doing a proactive Maisa, sometimes it means even removing something which is hindering the growth, like we saw in the Yerushalmi, so we assume that would be a Malach of Zorei.
That's your intention.
What?
Your intention is to help the plant grow.
Yeah, maybe just...
Not what he says. As you said, a psik ratio is still us around Shabbos.
But it's like it's creating a new
malacha. So let's see.
Chazal never said if you walk by a tree on Shabbos, you have to stop because you're blocking the sunlight. Now you can't walk.
So the stipler argues. The stipler says, "Why exactly what you're saying?" He says, "Why do you say only to open the shade? What about coming into my house? So obviously it's going to let in some fresh air. Fresh air is probably better than old air for the plants in my house. So where do you draw the line? I'm not allowed to open the door of my house on Shabbos either because maybe I'm going to let some fresh air in and the fresh air is going to rejuvenate the tree and it's going to help it grow a little bit more. How can you say such a thing? You're going to make up new malachas left and right. Person's not allowed to do anything on Shabbos. So the stipler from Bnei Brak, who's Chumras, so you're going to say that even the stipler is Mekel and the Archas Rabbeinu, they write even the stipler is Mekel. I don't know. The way my father always tells me, you see a cooler from the Chazon Ish, take it and run. So I don't know. I would say that also with the stipler over here. That if the stipler is saying that this is a little outlandish, it's a little too far of a chiddush, I would take it and run. So why is it that it's too much of a chiddush? What's wrong with this argument? So number one, there are a couple of reasons why. The Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole long discussion in the Hartz V. But one answer that I was with Rav Asher Weiss this week, so I discussed this with him. So he suggested the following. My father, for some reason today, didn't like it at all. But I don't know, I think for me it made a lot of sense to me. So you can take it or leave it. But he thought the answer is like this. When you look at the Malach of Zoreya, it's a little bit like you're saying. We don't have any visible way of knowing when the Malach of Zoreya actually helped the tree grow and when it didn't. Our assumption is we're trusting the people who know about growth of trees, and we trust them that when you pour water on a tree, it's going to help it grow. I don't see any visible change. So how do I gauge a Malach of Zoreya? How do I know when I'm in violation of Zoreya when I'm not? The answer is, Rosh Hashanah said to me, the answer is, when it's Derech Avodah Sa'ila Mekach, when this is the normal way for a person to look after his tree, and you do that on Shabbos, then we know you're in violation of Malach of Zoreya. So that includes planting something in the ground, putting a seed in the ground. That includes pouring water on the seeds. It includes removing the rocks. It includes all those things that the Yerushalmi said, because that's the normal way that a person would look after their tree throughout the regular days of the week. However, it does not include opening a shade.
Why not?
That's not derech avodas ha'ilim akach. Again, the Har Tzvi says, if I'm running a greenhouse, right, and the normal way for me to make sure that the temperatures, the climates are always perfect is, for 3 hours a day I open the roof, and for 1 hour a day I open this window, and 1 hour a day I close that window, and I open the entrance, all different things, obviously that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a regular person. That's not derech avodas ha'ilanos b'kach. That's not the normal way that a person will look after his tree, by opening a shade. That's not what you do. Anyone who sees you opening the shade doesn't think that you're looking after your tree. That's not what it is. And therefore you don't categorize it. It doesn't have its tzuras hamalacha. Therefore you don't categorize that under the rubric of zoreya. That's what Rav Asher Weiss answered, and that's what he suggested is the difference as to why we would assume that something like this would not be considered an Isser on Shabbos, whereas some of the other things that the Yerushalmi described would be considered a malacha on Shabbos. So that's...
Even though your intention is to help grow, even though your intention is to help the tree grow by opening up and giving it sunlight?
Oh, so you're asking, what if I specifically have intent?
Yeah,
oh, so right now we're talking about if a guy's intention is just he wants some sunlight in the room. Oh, so now you're saying, what about if I have intention? So that gets into a very important point, and that's the point that Rabbi Avadia Yosef makes when he discusses this. And Rabbi Avadia gives us something that we should consider, but it's an important halacha and hilchos Shabbos to be aware of, and that is the machlokes between the Ran and the Rashba, which is really the machlokes between the two of you before. Let's just give the context. We have over here, hang on, we'll get to that in a second. We have a malacha of tzeda, which is one of the lamates avos malacha. So you're not allowed to trap things on Shabbos. Now, tzeda is a malacha that's discussed whether it's only by animals, if it's even by people. Let's say you take someone, you lock him into a house. Is there already malacha of tzeda? Sounds funny, but it's an interesting question that the Achronim discuss. What if I incarcerate someone on Shabbos? Is that considered malacha of tzeda or not? How are you allowed to incarcerate someone on Shabbos? Why would you do that? The Mishnah Berurah talks about someone who's ma'agin his wife. Someone who's ma'agin his wife is a good enough reason to put them in jail on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Interesting. That's the only example that he gives, if I'm not mistaken, but that's a very important discussion that's not for now. So you have a malacha of tzedan Shabbos. What falls under the category of tzedan Shabbos? So the Gemara here tells us, if you look at number hey, the Gemara says, kol shebimino nitzad, we paskin like the chachamim. If this is something that normally people would want to trap, then that's considered a violation of malacha of tzedah. But if it's something that people are not interested in trapping, for example, flies. Nobody goes around catching flies. The only reason you catch a fly is to send it out because it's annoying you. So that's not called the malacha of tzeda midaraisa. Midarabana might be us. Or anyway, big discussion the Mishnah Berurah has about bees. Is bees considered malacha of tzeda or not? Whatever. We'll get into it. Sukkot time. That's when it's most relevant. But basically, we have a malacha of tzeda on Shabbos, and we paskin kol shebimino nitzad. Anything that is generally trapped by a trapper, that's considered malacha of tzeda. Now, says the Gemara, what happens if I have a wild animal, and a wild animal, a deer, runs into my living room, and now I say, hey, I have a deer in the living room. Let me make sure to close the front door to make sure it doesn't go out. I may as well have the deer for dinner tonight, or whatever it is, right? So, probably not. So, the Gemara says, if you go and shut the door of the house, and now the deer is caught in your house, and it's going to be very easy to now put your hands on it and kill it, we assume that's a malachat tzeda. Because again, it used to be roaming around freely, and now it's not roaming around freely. Now the Gemara says, what if I have a wild bird comes into my house, and even when it's stuck in my house, it's still going to be impossible to catch. So that's not a malacha of tzeda, because it's still not caught. It's still roaming around freely. But if you have a deer where it's not so easy for it to get around, we'd consider that a malacha of tzeda. Says the Rashba, what if I have somebody who has a deer runs into the house, and now I got to go to shul. So when I leave the house, when I go to shul, I always close the door. I don't want people running into my house. I don't want them stealing my furniture. Happens to be, I have a secondary kavana here, that number one, I don't want anyone stealing my furniture. Number two, I wouldn't mind if the deer actually got caught in my house. So says the Rashba, even though I have in mind that I want the deer to get caught, but since that's not my primary focus right now, since my primary focus is that every time I leave the house, I close the door because I don't want someone stealing the furniture, even though I have a secondary plan here that I want the deer to get caught also, that's not a malach on Shabbos. That would be permissible. That's what the Rashba argues. And the Ran says, what are you talking about? What do you mean? That's a psikresha. Denichale. You're happy. right? You want the deer to get caught, and you know that by closing the door, the deer will get caught. So how are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Says the Ran, I absolutely disagree with the Rashba. You are not allowed to do that at all. If that's even a secondary kavana, you would not be allowed to do such a thing. Now, if you assume that the Rashba is correct, then obviously over here, that would be permissible as well, as long as it's a secondary intent. Again, my primary focus is that I want sunlight in the room. Secondary kavana is that now, once there's sunlight in the room, it's also going to help my plants grow. So if you assume like the Rashba, then anytime you have a secondary kavana, it's not considered a malachas so over here as well. If that's my secondary intent, that I should have sunlight go onto the plants and help them grow, that would be permissible. The problem is, the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Tes Zayin Paskins like the Ran. And we're Machmir. We don't hold like the Rashba. And we hold that even if it's just a secondary kavana, it's not really your primary focus in the malacha that you're doing, that's also considered an Isser on Shabbos. So how do you get out of the problem? How do you get out of the problem? If you hold like the Ran, how do you get out of the problem? So the answer that some give is something that's very relevant to every Shabbos. And it's becoming more and more relevant. And it's very difficult because, let's say nowadays, people have video cameras outside of their homes. Now, I walk in the street. I have no idea that I'm being videoed. What's the malacha of being videoed? Kosave. Why is it kosave? Because now, every time I walk, some imprint is being written on the screen somewhere else or being recorded. That, the Chazon Ish says, a malacha of kosave. Rabbi Avadia Yosef wants to argue. Rabbi Avadia Yosef, for those who read anything that he writes, he's very literal with everything. It's a certain style that he had, which not the general style that we're used to, but he was very literal with everything that he read. It was like just in a box. So over here he said, what do you mean? The Gemara says, kosev beregel is mutter. That's considered kelachar yad. So he said, this is kosev beregel, so it's mutter on Shabbos, to walk in front of a video camera. It's not what kosev beregel means. Kosev beregel means if you take a pen, instead of taking the pen in your hands, you put the pen in between your toes and you write with your toes. That's called kosev beregel. That's kelachar yad. That's not the normal way to write. Over here, it's not kosev beregel because I'm walking with my feet. That's the normal way of violating the malach of ksiva in such a case. So Rabbi Avadi's argument is a little bit questionable. But forgetting about that for a minute, what's our heter? Let's say I'm walking in the street, right? Let's say I'm walking in the street. So if I don't know, so that's a misasik. I have no idea that I'm violating melacha at all. So then it doesn't count. What? So you say, so for me, it's a psikresha de lo nichale. For me, I'm walking by. I don't care if it videos me, if it doesn't. For me, it's a psikresha de lo nichale, so it doesn't make a difference. Psikresha de lo nichale, we hold like... Like, it's machlokes tosa in the Yaruch. We hold that it's aser on Shabbos as well, midirabbanan. So what are you going to say? And forget about that. What about the balabas? What about the person who owns the house? He does want it to video people. Of course he wants it to work. So for him, it's really a problem. So for the balabas, it's really a problem. Now what about somebody else? What about for somebody else? For somebody else, it's psik resha de lo nichale. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. But I don't care. I don't need your video videoing me. I couldn't care less. You want the video videoing me because you want it to work. I couldn't care less. I don't live in your house. I don't care if anyone steals your stuff. It's your problem. It's not my problem. So I don't care if your video works or it doesn't. So again, if you hold like the Rashba, that it all depends on what's your primary kavana and what's your secondary kavana. So over here, my primary kavana is I want to walk down the street. Secondary kavana is I want it to be videoed. So the Rashba is mutter. How does the Ran get out of this? What's the Ran going to say? Not for the Balabas himself. For the Balabas, it's a psikresha de nichale, it will be usher. For everybody else, it will be a psik resha de lo nichale. And therefore, we still hold that it's usher, so shouldn't it be usher? So the answer that's given that my father showed me in a Staliner Torah journal, they wrote a beautiful piece about this to explain how we ever allowed to walk on the streets on Shabbos. Answer is that even the Ran would agree in a case like this. Why? Because the only time the Ran says that secondary kavanah doesn't make a difference and psik resha de lo nichale after me machmer is when I'm doing a maisa beguf hadavar. Let's say I open the fridge. So the light goes on. So some say it's a psikresha lo nichale because you don't care. I would argue it's a psikresha lo nichale because obviously you want the light on in the fridge. That's why they created it like that, because it's helpful. But whatever. Says the Ran over there, it's beguf hadavar. When I open the fridge, it's happening right there. But in our case, when I walk by, I'm doing one thing, something else is happening somewhere else. I'm not touching the video screen and telling it to look on me right now and to video and to do ksiv over there. Something else is happening with something that's not attached to me. So the Achronim say, the Avnei Nezer and other Achronim say, when it's a psikresha de lo nichale, so number one, it's only midrabban in the first place. And it's a psikresha lo nichale that's not connected at all to what I'm doing right now, right? It's not beguf hadavar. I'm not touching it. I have nothing to do with this thing. So in a case like that, The Egel Tal says even the Ran would agree that it's permissible on Shabbos. That's not a malacha at all. So you come to our case over here. I think it would apply equally over here. You have a psik resha. You're saying it's not lo nichale. It is nichale. Saying it is nichale. I do want the sunlight. What? Right, so let's say I really don't care. Let's say I don't care because I know it doesn't make such a difference anyway. It really doesn't make a difference to me. So in a case like that, if Sikuresha de lo nichale, perhaps. So that's not a Maisa Begufa Dover. Again, the Ran is talking about a case where you close the door to the house. So you'll say, that's also not Begufa Dover. I'm not standing by the Tzvi, I'm not standing by the deer. But the answer is, that is Tzeta. That's the way you catch a Tzvi. You close the door on it, and that's the way it gets caught. So that's what the Ran says, that's called Begufa Dover. When I close the door here, that's the way that I normally do the Malach of Tzeta, that's called Begufa Dover. But over here, what?
No, the way you normally do say it is you capture the animal. Closing the door is not...
Right, so sometimes capturing an animal means closing a fence. Sometimes capturing an animal means taking it by its hand, by your hands.
I'm helping a plant grow is by opening up a window shade. I'm putting the plant by the window. I'm sorry. You keep plants by the window because you want to nourish from the sunlight. That is not
all the Shabbos.
You couldn't kill less than Shabbos. You can't kill Shabbos in the weekdays.
No, so let's say... No, but is that your intention or not? Let's say
intention right now when you want to brighten the room.
Uh huh.
Yeah, there is that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll leave it open. Everyone can think about this. Again, this machlokas, the Rashba and the Ran, is a very relevant machlokas to many areas of Hilchos Shabbos. And as we stated,
I'm concerned about the video cameras.
The what?
I forgot. I think he has a different. Because he spoke about when he was the white show.
Yeah. Yeah, so Rav Asher Weiss Stam has a big chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos that anything that you can't categorize falls under the category of makah b'patish. That's, you know, you have to swallow that. Anyway, one second. Let's just wrap up over here.